It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us. We're in the book of Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to begin reading with the first verse. We've gotten down further into that chapter, but we're going to reread that. It's wonderful. Chapter 28 of Matthew. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number is 217-440-4402. And if you'd like to check out our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. And you'll find on our website why we have the plan of salvation, we have our church constitution, and we also have several hundred studies there as well concerning the Word of God, so you can come to know and again come to grow in the Lord Jesus. So I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And we're going to begin reading now with Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. The angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Behold, be not afraid. Be not afraid, go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came unto the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they had assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, and saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Let's begin with prayer now after reading God's precious word. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to come together and enjoy this time. I just ask that you'll guide and lead us through the study. I'm going to look at many things today as we enjoy the look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, please that you would guide and lead us and bring people to you, that they would be born again, they would be saved. Father, please. It's the only way is to come by faith to you and faith alone. So please, that they would trust in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Speak to our hearts today, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have come down through the fifth verse there and into the sixth and seventh, and so we'll kind of start right there. Again, we find that the keepers did shake, and we discussed that. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. What wonderful words that we have here. He is not here, for he is risen. Couldn't be greater words than that, any more powerful words than those. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Gave witness, gave a testimony right there. And he said, go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So once again, there's going to be a great opportunity of testimony and of witness. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. That's kind of where we ended last time. You'll find that in Mark 16:7. And it's great that the Lord Jesus takes special attention to Peter after he had denied him three times, and yet knowing he is a saved, born-again believer. And so here we find that he just gave those kind words to him. And we have the very first gospel, the promise of what is to come, and we're going to find that back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And a lot of folks do not realize that the first gospel that was presented clear back here in the book of Genesis. And we find that it's immediately after the fall, and I can back all the way up here to chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant for the eyes, and the trees to be desired of one to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. That's the very first religion that we have today, false, fake religion. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He said, well, I heard thy voice in the garden, was afraid, because I was naked, and hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said to the woman, whom gavest it to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and the dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And now we come down to this 15th verse that I spoke of. But first, before we do that, I want you to see that our human nature has not changed. And it comes here in the 12th verse when God asked him, did you eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me. Nobody ever takes the blame, do they? Whom thou gavest to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So he goes on both brackets. You gave her to me, and she gave it to me. And then the woman said that, it was a serpent's fault. And then we come to the serpent. But the important scripture verse is verse 15. Because verse 15 clearly helps us to see the truth here. Because verse 15 says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. There's going to be a great hatred between the two, between the devil and Jehovah God, and it shall bruise thy head. In other words, you're going to be destroyed, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now that is the very first gospel. And when it says here, between thee and the woman, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is to be born of a virgin, fathered by the Holy Spirit. So you see, that is the very first scripture that's given. Satan bruised the heel of God's Son when he put him on the cross. But for the Son of God to bruise his head, Jesus must be raised from the dead. Let's go all the way to the opposite end of the scripture, to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Jesus rose from the dead, and Jesus has destroyed the devil, and it is done just as if it is already finished. There are many Old Testament scriptures here that we deal with when it looks at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And if we'll go back to Matthew chapter 28, where we are studying and finishing up the book of Matthew, so we look at this scripture verse here, we find that in the sixth and seventh verse, and it says, "He is not here, he is risen, as he said, come see the place where he laid, go quickly. Tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." You know, there's many Old Testament scriptures here that we can take a look at. And one of them enjoys here of with back in Noah's day. Because, Noah, the ark in which Noah and his family escaped the flood was a type of the Lord Jesus conquering the world, the flesh, the devil, death, hell, and the grave. And the ark passed through the waters of judgment and came to rest upon the cleansed earth. You know, it's so sad when you go back in and study concerning the condition of everything. There was not, at the time when the flood started, when God turned to opened up the waters of the from the earth and started it to rain for the very first time. It had never rained. And so we find that Noah, by faith, walked with the Lord Jesus, and for that period of time, which was the 120 years, he said, "I'm not going to," he set the time, 120 years. They began to build the ark. They built the ark by faith. And that ark took just 8 souls, Noah, his wife, the 3 sons, and their wives. That's all that was saved. That's all that was born again. That's all that stayed with the Word of God, the truth, in such an early time of the creation of this world. And yet, God found grace in Noah. And because he believed him by faith, no other individual. There was a population explosion upon this earth at the time. And yet the imagination of man was evil. Every single person, the imagination was evil. And so God chose to destroy everything. He destroyed the birds, he destroyed the animals, and he destroyed man. And he started over with Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And so that is a beautiful picture of the salvation that comes, the death, burial, and resurrection with the ark as it was lifted up and saved those souls. Another one that is so clear, and that is in Genesis 22 concerning Abraham. And this one is one of my favorites. And if we'll come back to, again, Genesis chapter 22, and we'll just read here a little bit, because this is such a beautiful message. "And it came to pass after those things that God did tempt Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee unto a land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. Now Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood from the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And behold, and Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go on yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire, the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him and out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him in a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. What a beautiful story. There's a lot here for you, and I want to bring it all together, because as we look at this, we find that from the very time when God told Abraham to offer up Isaac, it's very specific. It was 3 days. And so in Abraham's mind, Isaac, his son, was dead those 3 days. And when it comes down to the point where it says, you know, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, that's exactly what God the Father did. He supplied his son to be that burnt offering. What a picture. But you see, Isaac could not be that, because Isaac wasn't perfect. But I believe that Abraham, without question, believed that God was going to raise Isaac back up, because I think he had all the intentions of killing him, because God commanded him to take his life. But look up here in the scripture. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto the young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the land will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham knew that Isaac was going to be with him. Look at the faith that Abraham had, because he believed God was going to raise Isaac back up again. What a beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Beautiful picture. Just beautiful picture. And so, you know, we not only have Noah and the ark, we have Abraham. And then just two more actually, very quickly here. One is the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea. You see, if we go back, and we're not going to read that right now, but go back to Exodus chapter 14. And you're going to find that from the time that they left Egypt till they crossed across the Red Sea, dry land, come up out of that Red Sea. That was a beautiful picture of the resurrection, because you see, they had the death back 3 days earlier when they killed the lamb and they put the blood on the doorpost. Remember that? You'll find that back in Exodus. And so what a beautiful picture it is. So 3 days after that, after they'd slain the lamb, they were coming up out of the Red Sea, picturing once again the resurrection and life after the Lord Jesus. And so what a beautiful picture. And then one more, and that's back in Jonah. You know, we have Jonah and the 3 days and the three nights in the belly of the fish. And then he was raised from the dead there. And so we not only have Noah, but we got Abraham, we got Israel coming up out of the Red Sea, we got Jonah. We got so many pictures of what took place on this very day that they waited. And from Isaac's time to this time was 1900 years had passed from the time that promise had come. But you see, In God's time, when He says it, it's true. It comes to pass, and it's just as if it's already happened. And what a joy to walk each day with the Lord Jesus and watch this take place. So now, as we are in this 28th chapter, and we look at this here, and when we see they have returned to the sepulcher, and we have discussed this. Now, you can have your own opinion and idea, but tradition has said that Jesus died on Friday. He did not. He died on Wednesday. He was put to death on Wednesday. That's 3 days and three nights. He come out of the grave somewhere between nightfall on Saturday night and daylight on Sunday morning. 3 days and three nights. It's very clear. I don't have to be a mathematician to figure out that from Friday to Sunday, there is no way 3 days and three nights. Now, somebody sometime along the line wanted to put that lie in there, and the multitudes through so many years has believed that. But you need to understand that is just that. It's a religious lie that is not true. And so please that you would understand the joy of following the Word of God. And when God says 3 days and three nights, He means 3 days and three nights. Jonah, the picture we have of him as well. And so now we have come to that third day, and the three nights have passed, and we've come to the tomb, and it says right here, "For he is risen as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you." 3 days and three nights. "And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy." That's kind of a strange combination, isn't it? Fear and great joy. "And did run to bring his disciples word." And so, "and as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, All hail." All hail. Now, that word hail there, H-A-I-L, it brings the meaning of rejoice. Rejoice. And they did. Again, when they left with fear and great joy, they went to tell the disciples. Jesus met them. Once again, proof of his bodily resurrection. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now, we're going to stop just a minute, and we're probably not going to have time. But we have kind of a calendar here, a time of the events. And in Mary Magdalene, in John 20, verses 14 through 17, and then Mark chapter 16, verse 19, we find that she was the first. And then we have the group of women. That's in Matthew 28, 9, and that's just what we read right here. And then we find that Jesus appears to Peter, and that's in Luke 24, verse 34, and 1 Corinthians 15, 5 also confirms that. And then we have the two on the road to Emmaus. And if we would look back to Luke chapter 24, I love this story as well, this message. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together at all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, in other words, they're trying to figure out what's taking place here, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. We have read this text not so long ago. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in those days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today's the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early to the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And so look at the timetable there as far as when each of these events take place. And then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. And it came to pass, as they sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scripture, and they arose at that same hour and returned to Jerusalem to the 11. You know why that they knew him? When he broke bread, they saw the nail-scarred hands. That's why they knew him. What a conversation. Says, no, you know, where have you been? Didn't you know all the things that's taken place? And today's the third day, and he should have raised. But when the women and others went to the sepulchre, they found it empty, you know. We don't know what to think. And at the upper part there, why, then we find that they communed and reasoned together. They were trying to figure this thing out, you see. But when they saw the nail-scarred hands. So, my dear friend, please, please trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?